Good to see everyone. Let's open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter. Mark chapter 13. If you have need of a Bible, you just simply raise a hand and one will be given to you. We're going to be picking up in verse 5 where we left off last week. Mark chapter 13. You know, as Pastor RJ was sharing all those announcements and the different fundraisers and things, I know it can seem a lot of things that we're asking the church to do, but listen, we just give you these opportunities to support different ministries. We know that there's a lot of other things that the Lord puts on your hearts to support and to be a part of. So again, we just put those things out there as the Lord leads to take care of some of the things that we're doing here at this church. And Suzelle got back to Port-au-Prince on Tuesday. And unfortunately, she's been dealing with a stomach issue. Her abdomen, or not, her intestines aren't functioning completely properly. So we certainly want to keep her lifted up in prayer that God would heal her. He's already begun to do that a little bit, but there's still, she's not in as much pain. But we just want to pray for complete and total healing. And I'm certain that the enemy wants to stop what God's doing through her. So as we begin our prayer this morning, we're going to lift her up as well. But hopefully you'll remember her in prayer in the weeks ahead, and we'll give you a praise report next week. But let's pray now, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word that encourages us, your word that teaches us, your word that corrects us. And Lord, within these pages of our Bibles, we see time and time again your hand of healing, restoring the blind, giving the deaf the ability to hear, even raising the dead. And so as we think of all the power that you've displayed within our Bibles, Lord, we know that you're still a God that does the miracles. And so we lift up our sister Suzelle to you, God, and we pray that not only would you physically heal her, but that you would spiritually encourage her right now, that you would touch her body, that those that are caring for her in Port-au-Prince, Lord, would have wisdom from above. Lord, that you would restore her body to 100% so that she can continue to get back to San Michele and continue to do the things that you've called her to do. And so let her life be continue to be a testimony, God, of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for that. We also pray for this church, Lord. I know even this morning, just different people going through different things, dealing with different issues with family members, personally, physical issues. I know some people in this room are even considering the possibility of having a surgery on their physical bodies. But Lord, we just pray that your grace would continue to be sufficient for us, that we would walk in your ways, that we would be empowered by your Spirit, Lord, to let our lives be a living testimony. However you heal us, whether it's miraculously or through the aid of doctors and nurses and the medical profession, Lord, we pray that we would give you the glory for it. And so as we now look to your word, we pray that we'd be encouraged, Lord, that our faith would be increased, that not only on Sunday mornings do we either read the word or pray or even be around people who pray, but throughout the week that we're just pressing in, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we're pressing and encouraging people, motivating people to be faithful to God, sharing the faith that we have. We know we live in dark days, God, where faith is something that seems mystical to the world. But Lord, we know it is the power of the gospel, the risen Christ, the God who continues to live and intercedes on our behalf. And so I pray your word would go forth, that this message would bless us all. And then as we remember the sacrifice that you made upon the cross, God, in our time of communion, I pray it would truly be a time where we remember all the good things you've done in our lives. So have your way in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I've titled today's message, Making the Most of Every Moment. Making the Most of Every Moment. Really, today's message is going to be a lot about, you know, giving God praise for the power of His work. You know, I was talking to someone this week, and it's so amazing to me as you step back and consider how God uses your life. Do you ever feel like, in any given day, any given week, you're going through life kind of with blinders on? You're just trying to maybe get to Friday. You're just trying to get to the end of the day. You're just trying to get the end of this meeting. Whatever it is, you're just, it's I really feel like God was impressing upon my heart this week, we can be so consumed with ourselves that we miss what's going on around us. And we're all subject to that. I mean, because there's nothing wrong with being concerned with the things that are going on in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I talk about making the most of every moment, I'm talking about even in the midst of those difficulties, even in the midst of those struggles you may be having, there could be an opportunity running right by you for God to use you, for God to use your life, for you to encourage someone or for them to encourage you. Because I think sometimes we just got to ask God, Lord, I need you to show up. I need you to reveal yourself in a powerful way. And it was 3 weeks ago. I was sitting on an airplane getting ready to go away for a week. And as I was sitting on the plane, I was just thinking about the week. I was asking God, you know, just show me what you want to show me. Use me the way you want to use me. Just kind of ideas running through your mind, you know, as the hustle and bustle of getting the plane ready to take off. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking about Suzelle. I was thinking about Lakai Tumun. I was thinking about the new semester that was coming up. 85 children, you know, they need new shirts for their new semester. And I was just thinking about how we didn't necessarily have the funds to pay for the t-shirts to get finished. We had already purchased the t-shirts, but they needed to have the logo on the front. They needed to have the scripture on the back for the kids. And so as I was sitting there, I was just thinking, how are we going to pay for this? Have you ever been like that? Have you thought, how am I going to pay the electric bill? How's the mortgage going to get paid? How am I going to pay, you know, my staff's paychecks? I mean, just the stress of life, right? So I'm just thinking, Lord, show us. How are you going to do this? And I am telling you, I've never heard God's voice as clear as I did this time. And he said, you haven't asked me. And you know, that's just so convicting, isn't it? It's like, you haven't asked me. You've done it in your own strength. You've gone ahead and purchased the t-shirts. You already shipped them over to the manufacturer to have them made. And now you're just waiting for me to, or for somebody to pay for them. And so Lakai Tumun as a board, they were on hold until the funds came in. We were just waiting on God. And so God on this plane tells me, you haven't asked me. And so I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? So Lord, show me. Well, on Instagram, as I'm sitting on the plane, I post this picture on my Instagram account. It may be hard to see, but this is the last year's 35 kids in their different colored shirts for the different days of the week as they go to school. And I said, there's a need, Lakai Tumun. We have some t-shirts, 85 students, need t-shirts that need to be purchased. It's $1,900. If anybody's interested in helping, let me know. I never do this. I literally hit send. And within 10 minutes, two people respond, hey, I can help. Hey, I want to help. Another person says, how do I pay for them? And I'm thinking, well, how do they want to, you know, so I give them our PayPal information. I said, just the next thing I know, I get a message. The entire t-shirts were paid for within 10 minutes of me posting it on the Instagram. Exactly. Exactly. Now, here's the flesh part. It's like, do I let people know? Or do I just let people continue to want it? No. So I immediately, before the plane's backing off from the gate, and I took a snapshot of the PayPal payment. I posted it on my Instagram. I'm like, praise God, God did it that quickly. And there was one person that actually posted his own, I can't believe I missed the opportunity. God did it so quickly that other people missed the opportunity. But here's the thing I want to encourage you. What God was telling me, make the most of every moment. When God's got something going on in your life, see how he wants you to use it. See how he wants you to put it out there. Now listen, boy, wouldn't it be nice that all you had to do was post your needs on Instagram and they would get met? You know, so if your mortgage payment is late, send me a picture, I'll post it, we'll see what God does. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is, sometimes God does that. Sometimes God doesn't do it that quickly, you know, and actually one person posted on it and said, man, you move fast. And I think I shared this a couple weeks ago. I immediately said to him, I didn't do anything. God moved fast. I don't want the credit. God did it. And the reality is that, and look, this came to me this week. Sometimes you have to do something before God will do something bigger. Isn't that true? Sometimes, and I say sometimes because not all times. Sometimes God just wants you to stay still, do nothing, and watch him do something. But sometimes he wants you to do something so that he can do something bigger, so that he can get the glory for it. I've said this time and time again in my ministry and in my life. Let's give it to God. Let's see what God does, because when God does it, it'll be so obvious that we didn't have anything to do with it, that we can give him the greatest amount of glory. So here this morning, making the most of every moment, I want you to think about, God, what do you want me to do in this moment in my life of what I'm going through? What do you want me to do, either if it is something or if it is just to stay still before you? God, show me what you want me to do. Because I believe that God wants to do something big in every one of our lives. But not so that we get the attention, not so that we get the praise, not so that there's drawn attention to me. Listen, I was just sitting on an airplane, and God spoke to me, and I was obedient. And I think that's the key. If we would be obedient in the things that God calls us, we would see him do greater and bigger things. And like I said this morning, I already know many people in this room, at least five people in this room I know are praying for something big to happen in their life. Whether, again, it's a physical ailment, whether it's something that's going on with a family member, or where they need something met financially in their lives that they don't know how it's going to do. I love, you've heard me say this many times, I love when we have impossible situations come up in our lives, because then it's only God that can fix them, right? It's only God that can fix them. So making the most of every moment means don't pout about where you're at. Just see it as an opportunity for God to work. And I want you to be thinking about that today. Because if you think about it, before Peter was able to walk out on the water, God had to equip him to step out of the boat, right? Before little David could slay Goliath, David had to come in there with a slingshot and five stones. They had to do something before God could do something bigger. And I believe God wants to do something bigger in your life. And when he does, tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it. Show them how many times God has showed up in your life. Because sometimes we forget because of the present condition we're in. And I've been that way too. I'm like, God, why am I in this position? Why aren't you meeting my needs? I'm being faithful to you. I don't understand why you're not doing it now. And then God will knock on my shoulder and go, have I never done anything for you? Well, no, you always have. But why aren't you doing it now, God? Because I believe too many of us, myself included, we quit too quickly on God. We give up because we don't get the answer when we want it. I am so fed up with our attitude of everything coming to us so darn quickly. It's like we are so trained that everything is instant, everything is at this moment, and when it comes to God, guess what? That's when the anchor gets thrown out and everything slows down, because God wants you to be faithful, to trust in him. Are you currently in a place in your life where you're ready to quit, and it's just a matter of you saying, God, I'm trusting in you. Make the most of this moment. Make the most of this moment. And again, I'm bragging about God, because God showed up again this week for me. I was studying for this message, and I got an email from one of the missionaries that's going to go to Haiti. And this particular person has not been able to give too much money towards the airfare that we've already purchased. And so, long story short, in the email it says, I'm so sorry, things haven't worked out, I've had a lot of problems with my car, I've had a lot of problems with work, I don't have enough money, I don't think I can go on the missions trip. And soon as I got the email, I'm already thinking, how can I fix this? Anybody in here a fixer? Anybody get in the way of God? And say, you know, don't even consider the Lord. Just, okay, here's the problem. How can I fix it? And me personally, or me as a church, can we just, okay, the tickets have already been paid. Why waste the money? Let's just still let, you know, those things are going through my mind. And God has to do this to me a lot. He has to slow me down. Because I was immediately wanting to respond, saying, no, don't give up so quickly. But I had to just stop. And for the next 30 minutes, I was just praying, Lord, how do you want this to go? What do you want me to do? Do you want this person on the trip? Do you not want this person? If they go on the trip, will they be too stressed because of all the other things that are going on in life? These are things that are going on in my mind, and I'm asking the Lord. And so finally, I just said, I got to find out if at least they still want to go. So talked to the person. I said, do you feel called to go on this trip? She's like, absolutely. So I said, so if God showed up in a big way and the finances were there, would you still go? Yes. And in fact, she's actually bringing her son with her. And she says, because if we go, I believe God will show up in my son's life so greatly that it'll reinstill faith in him for the Lord. Because right now he's wondering, why is mom so financially strapped? Why are we having all these problems? Where is God? We've all been there too, right? And so I said, well, and I just prayed with her. I said, all right, let's pray. God, if this is what you want, let it happen. And again, this doesn't happen to me all a lot, but within 4 hours, I had another conversation with someone else about that story and how it was just heavy on my heart. And they said, I'll pay for their entire trip. I'll pay for the airfare. I'll pay for all the ground fees, everything, within 4 hours. I was like, unbelievable. Making the most of every moment. It's putting yourself out there. And I know some of you in this room are sitting there going, I've prayed till I've been red in the face. I've prayed till there have been tears coming out of my eyes. I don't know how much more I can do. And for that particular situation, you have just got to trust God in the process. Because sometimes God does it quickly, sometimes God does it a lot longer. That's just the way God is. Making the most of every moment means being satisfied in the place that you are, trusting that God will take you where he wants you to take you. Right? So that's what we need to see. We did something, and God did something greater. And I haven't heard back from her yet. I emailed her and let her know, hey, everything's taken care of. I haven't heard back from her yet. But I would imagine she's probably overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Probably doesn't even feel worthy. Many of us don't feel worthy, do we? But God showed up. You know, I think we all want to have that testimony, that song, Reckless Love. I don't know if you've been hearing that one. That one's really ministering to me. And that one line that says, you've been so, so good to me, is something I feel like God wants us to be able to communicate with the world. God has been good to me. God has been good to me. Has God been good to you? Has God been faithful to you? Yes. You sometimes need to remember what he's done in the past so that you can be encouraged for the future. Making the most of every moment is about asking the Lord to do what he wants to do. And as we get into Mark chapter 13, we remember that as Jesus and some of his disciples were walking out of the temple, some of the disciples said, wow, look at these amazing buildings. Look at these amazing rocks. And Jesus says, I'll tell you what, aren't they wonderful? They're going to be gone in a time. There's going to be a time when these are all destroyed. And these disciples that want to know when. When are these things going to happen? How are you going to do it? What's going to be the sign for it? And actually in Matthew's gospel, it says, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Wouldn't it be nice to know? Wouldn't that be nice to know what was going to happen this coming week in your life? If you just had the itinerary, if God would just send it to your phone. All right, on Monday you're going to have this experience. On Tuesday this is going to happen. That would make life easier, right? It doesn't happen that way, but we can surely ask. Look with me in Mark. I want to kind of recap it. Mark chapter 13. We're going to teach from verse 5, but let's read from verse 1 to get an idea of what's going on here. Then he went out of the temple. One of his disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answered and said to him, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, Andrew, asked him privately, Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? That's where we left last week. Verse 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, began to say, Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. So give me your attention. As Jesus responds to these disciples' question, when will these things be? How will this happen? What will be the sign? Jesus' answer to them isn't very encouraging, is it? He basically says in verse 5, take heed. Now, we don't use that word, those words a lot. I've never said take heed to anybody. But we have said watch out, be careful, pay attention. That's what Jesus is saying. And it's interesting to me that they want to know when it's going to happen and what the signs of it are going to happen. And basically Jesus says, be careful, watch out, take heed. And he says to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, the thing here is, when we talk about taking heed, it's about, again, watching out. And for us as the church, as believers who believe what the Bible says, it is very important that we, from the perspective of eternity, do watch what's going on around us. That's why I'm saying, make the most of every moment. We are in some interesting times in our world as we look out at the landscape of the things that are going on around us. We as believers should have the answer to people's fears. Because Jesus says, take heed that no one deceives you. That implies that sometimes, what? We can be deceived. We can get off track. We can be going in a different direction. So Jesus is saying, be careful, watch out. In fact, if you look at verse 9, he says the same thing, but watch out for yourselves. So these are warnings that Jesus has given. You're asking the right question, but you've got to understand what the right answer is. Take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Because I think, like I said earlier, we go through life sometimes with blinders on. When you're standing in line, maybe to get a coffee or to check out for your groceries, if anybody does that anymore, do you care about the person in front of you? Other than, I hope they order fast so I can get my order taken care of. Right? No. We might even be on our phone. We might even be texting. We might even just be not even paying attention to the world around us. And I believe that in some senses, Jesus is saying this to the disciples. Take heed that no one deceives you. Don't focus on the rocks. Don't focus on the buildings. Don't focus on the things in this world. Be watchful for the things that are happening spiritually around you. Making the most of every moment means even though I'm in this place, maybe good, maybe bad, there's things that are happening around me that I got to pay attention to. You know, you ever watch those shows like, I don't know, they're like these guys that are, oh, I don't even know what they're called, private investigators. I mean, they see stuff, you're like, I would have never thought of that. How did they think of that? Such wisdom, right? I think, man, I'm lucky if I can get down the street and not go through a red light, right? Because I'm not paying attention. It's like, we need to pay attention to the things that are going on around us. Because I think sometimes we can get so consumed with the things that are going on in our heads, so consumed with the things that are going on in our lives that we miss where God's trying to get our attention, where God's trying to say, watch out, pay attention, watch me, take heed. Listen, sometimes we are looking for the answer so quickly that we get the wrong answer. Ever have that happen in your life? That you want the answer so badly that the first thing that looks like an answer, you jump on it. And that's called being deceived. That's being drawn in the wrong direction. And that's what Jesus is saying. Take heed, guys. You're going to be deceived if you're not getting this full picture, if you're not getting the whole thing in your minds. Because we don't want the wrong answer. When Jesus says, watch out, it means we have to be careful. The word deceived means, listen, causing to wander, led astray. How many times in our lives have we been seeking something for our lives, for our day, for whatever's going on, and we've been led astray? These are the real spiritual things that are happening around us in this day. There are so many people in this world that are being led astray, that are being deceived from the truth, and they're believing the lies. Guys, we have the truth. We know the truth. And the Bible says the truth will what? Set you free. We have the ability to help people be set free. So I'm encouraging you that as you're making the most of every moment, that you're taking things in, but also putting things out there. sharing with other people what's going on. There is nothing wrong with you reaching out to someone saying, can you pray with me for this? Can you spend some time in prayer with me on this? I just witnessed this morning two ladies. I know one of them is going through a real tough time. They're spending time together. They're crying together, and they're praying together, and they're bringing that need to the Lord. Does it immediately change the situation? No, but it changes the mind. It changes the heart. It changes the soul to deal with the issue that you're going through. That's what it's all about. That's being watchful. That's being saying there's times that you're going to be there for someone, and then there's times someone's got to be there for you. And I want more than anything in your life for God to do something big, for God to do a miracle in your life. And I believe he will do it if we just put it out there for him, if we just lay it out there for him. So sometimes the very first answer is not the right answer, is it? Sometimes it's the wrong answer. The enemy certainly wants to distract you. The enemy certainly wants you to get off track. So he's going to try and answer it without it. Look at this verse. Paul says to the Colossians, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. This is a huge warning to the believers in Colossae to say, don't just listen to man's wisdom. Now, I believe God can use man's wisdom. But man's wisdom, listen, man's wisdom is not God's wisdom, right? God's wisdom can be given to man, but we need to be careful that it is God's wisdom. And to me, the greatest test of God's wisdom is the test of time. Let those things take their course. Let those things run the way they need to run. So whatever it is you're going through today, God is in the process of answering it, but don't be deceived. Don't be distracted by what the enemy wants to do and remove that. As Jesus says, do not be deceived. Now, I look at that. He says, make sure no one deceives you. Verse 6, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive many. Many. These are believers. And the enemy has the ability to deceive a lot of us. If we all in this room agreed on the same thing, whether right or wrong, we could easily be deceived, right? So the enemy can do that. So when Jesus says, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, I believe that's Jesus saying, yes, in the end times there's going to be people coming claiming to be Messiah. But I also believe it's also the distraction that we receive the wrong answer to the questions we're asking the Lord. Be careful when you pray and you feel the answer coming. Test it. Make sure it's the Lord. Make sure it's God's will for your life. Make sure it lines up to God's word, because you do not want to be deceived. So not only does he say don't be deceived, he also says don't be troubled. Wouldn't this be easy? Look what he says in verse 7. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled. Is that easy? When you hear that you're going to have a bad season in your life, don't worry about it. When you hear your finances are going to be a little bit tight for a few months, don't worry about it. Is that great counsel? Nobody wants to hear that. Wars are talking about fights. It's talking about struggles. It's talking about certainly the things that go on in the world. As he says, nation against nation will rise up. But the reality is, there's battles all around us. And Jesus says, the Son of God, God himself tells us, don't be troubled during difficult times. Now, naturally, that's an impossibility, right? Absolutely impossible. I agree with you. But spiritually, I believe it's possible. If we truly believe Jesus and we truly believe in the Word of God, and it says when there's trouble, don't worry. Don't be troubled. See, you might begin to get worried. Anybody here, when things are going on between our country and North Korea, anybody get worried? No? Oh, okay. Cool. See, you're living the Word of God. I love that. I believe at first we were all like, what the heck is going on? I mean, I've been on this planet 53 years now, and I've never really had the threat of nuclear war that I can remember. But when that showed up on TV, it's like, whoa, what's going on? What's happening? So for a second, we may have worried. For a second, we may have been concerned, which we should be. But the other second is, God's on his throne. God's doing what he's going to do. In fact, he even says here in verse 8, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles, but these are the beginning of sorrows. So we are seeing prophecy being poured out before us. When I see these things, first I get nervous for myself and for our country and for the people we love. But then I go, God, you're in control. I trust you. So the only way you can go from worry to not worry is when you are trusting in Christ. When you are trusting in God, when you are trusting in his word. The Christian who is filled with the truth of biblical truth will not waver. Might get knocked over, might be concerned for a second, but they're going to come right back to, God, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. God, you said in this world you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I love that verse too. You're going to face trouble. Be happy about it. Jesus. Because why? Because I've overcome. And ultimately, guys, if our trust is in God, if our faith is in the Lord, we can say, Lord, you're doing what you want to do, and we're just here for the ride. Because this is not what it's all about. Heaven is what it's all about. Eternity with him. Getting there and bringing as many people with us as we can. Isn't that the truth? Man, it's going to be great to be in heaven and not worry about back surgeries, not worry about cancers, not worry about fights with my wife, not worry about, you know, struggles with paying bills, not worry about just hot outside. I mean, whatever it is we struggle with, we won't have to think about it anymore. It's going to be great. But right now, what? We're consumed with it. We're overwhelmed with it. If you want to do what Jesus says, and don't be troubled when someone says, hey, there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a bad. I do not like confrontation. If you know me for about 30 seconds, you'll know that. I will agree with you almost on everything unless it's against God's word. Because I don't want to cause trouble. But God says, you've got to speak the truth. And when trouble happens, and when we hear about these things, we should know, oh, the good news is the reason we're not troubled is because what? Our salvation is near. Our salvation draws near. Jesus is coming back. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling the disciples. Don't look at the buildings. Don't worry about that. I told you that all the rocks are going to fall on each other. Take heed that you're not deceived, that in the last days, these things are going to happen. But the end is not yet. We just see them as signs of God doing his work. The last thing I want to look at, and then we're going to partake of communion. Jesus says at the end of this, end of verse 8, that these are the beginnings of sorrows. Sorrows. That word sorrows is a very unique word. Shows up four times in the Bible. Three times it talks about labor pains. Hello, ladies. Labor pains. The only other time it talks about it talks about death pains or the pains of death. So it's interesting. One word talks about birth. The same word talks about death. Which is so interesting that Jesus says it's the beginning of sorrows. It's the beginning of the birth pains. It's the beginning of the pains of death. Because as the believer, the reborn believer that's been born again in Christ, when this life goes away, what? We have eternal life with Christ. We die here, but we live there. So the very same word says two different things. And Jesus talks about how he came to remove the pain of death, to remove the beginning of sorrows, that sadness, that this life is going away, if we're making the most of every moment, we are making sure we're living to the best of our ability here, knowing that our greater existence is there. There helps us live here. And if we truly have a heart to get there, we're going to make sure we're going to be obedient to him. We're going to trust in him. We're going to put our faith in him. And then we're going to want other people around us to have the very same thing. And I know this is going to sound harsh, but none of us would want to have ever been told that we had to believe in Christ. It's everyone's individual decision to believe in Jesus and put their faith in him. It is our job to lead people, to show people what the joy it is to be a Christian. But it's their decision at the final moment whether they accept it or not. And I know that's sad. I know we want everyone to believe. But sometimes it's just hard enough getting ourselves there in the midst of difficulties. You know, Jesus says all these things are going to happen, earthquakes and famines and struggles. And when we look at the world, don't we see that? We see those. But they are going to get more intense, and they are going to get more intense, and they are going to get more intense. And we live in this nice superpower of America thinking we're super safe, but you know the rest of the world lives in the fear of war, lives in the fear of death every moment. I mean, in Haiti, just last month, they raised gas prices like $4 a gallon, and it was a huge outcry. Travel to Haiti ceased for a period of time. And it's like this: most of the planet lives like that. We in America, we don't experience that. So I just want us to understand that our dependency upon God, living in the moment, is saying, Lord, let me not be so consumed at where I want to get. Let me be right here, right now, and let me hear your voice. One last story. Tuesday morning, I was doing a devotion. And when I read my devotion, it's going to sound weird, but I read my devotion, and I certainly apply it to my own life. But then I ask myself, is there anybody else I can encourage with my devotion? Prepare me, equip me, show me. This particular morning, it was on prayer, and it was a Billy Graham's devotion, and I loved it. It was so simple. He said in the devotion, he said, have you ever heard somebody say, all I can do about it is pray? And Billy goes, that would be like saying, all I can do to help someone who's hungry is give them food. I mean, he was just like, that is the dumbest thing. That's the one thing we should do is pray. And God put somebody on my heart. And so I copied that devotion. I sent it to him in a text. And I said, listen, I want you to know that you are an influencer. People listen to you. People are come to you for wisdom. People come to you for encouragement. And I know you can get wore out. I said, but this devotion says keep on praying. And you just keep on praying. And I just sent it to him. Probably within a couple hours, he emailed me back or texted me back. And he says, thank you so much for sharing this. Man, this was right on point. He says, you're not going to believe this. But when you sent this, I was in the middle of prayer with my workout group. He goes, and I am hearing God speak to me more now than I have in a long time. And I want to thank you for sending this to me. And that just blessed my heart. It's like, yes, making the most of every moment. Even when you're going through a difficult time, even when you're struggling, you can still encourage someone else and watch God work through you. Then to come find out, I'm talking to my wife yesterday, and she shares a story how she on Wednesday or Monday had encouraged this same individual on how he was an influencer to influencing the influencers, how she was encouraging him to be a leader, how she was encouraging him. And it was just, we didn't even know. And God did the very same thing. He's having prayer with his friends. He's leading prayer groups now. And it's just an amazing thing to see. And that's why I'm saying, guys, let's do something so God can do something bigger. Let's see him use us in the moments of our lives, no matter what. Whether you're up or down, God can still use you. And that's, I believe, the focus that we need to have this week. Lord, I'm in a tough way, but use me anyway. Amen.